Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. I am a bit more tired today because I literally didn't sleep last night because we were planning our trip to Ukraine and going to Odessa. And I have to say a special thank you to, well, by my surprise, to the Latvian Ministry of Defense, because we wanted to get some armored vests and helmets for me and Kalvis, because Kalvis is going to be my cameraman. Kalvis is the guy that you've seen on some of the shorter videos on my Facebook page when we practice our pneumatic air rifles, because that has turned out to be an interesting hobby for both of us. And yeah, we just called them and told them that we're journalists and that we can't find any armored vests and helmets anywhere, because they're apparently a deficit now, because a lot of people have been just buying them and sending them to Ukraine, which I understand, but I also would like to be safe. So we just called them, and after 30 minutes, they had packed everything up and we were there, and now we're actually pretty well equipped, which is just amazing. They are apparently really good. They are these CIJ4 things. Apparently, like, the ranking is 4, so that's considered good by Latvian standards, I suppose. And yeah, that's a bit interesting. However, about the today's news. Well, let's start with the biggest thing ever. First of all, in Istanbul, the first tour of Russia and Ukraine delegations' peace talks have now ended. The thing is, the very fact that they have now been moved from Belarus to Turkey is already a win for Ukraine, because calling Belarus a neutral country was, well, terrible, so to speak. Ukraine delegation stated about its own plan about ending the war. Ukraine basically has agreed to become a neutral country and not join NATO and not place any foreign forces or military bases in their country. However, they demand that basically that the international society give strong security guarantees to Kyiv, which basically means that they could be another separate treaty, which could be signed then by the United States, China, UK, France, Italy, Canada, Poland, Turkey, and Israel. And Ukraine wants that these countries would do something similar to the NATO Article 5, namely, basically, if a new war would reach Ukraine, and then these countries would be obligated to give aid to Ukraine. And Ukraine also wants for other countries to help it become an EU member, which is nice. At the same time, they've also moved away talks which would kind of determine the fate of Crimea, and specifically the Sevastopol, and how that would be solved. That would be basically, there would be 15 years to solve this issue, during which time both Russia and Ukraine promise to each other to basically not solve this question in a military way. However, when they talked about the so-called People's Republics of Donetsk and Luhansk and what's going to happen with them, well, Ukrainian side wishes a direct meet with Putin and Zelensky, which then could be done. I think it also could last for years. And Russian delegation's leader Vladimir Medinsky has actually stated that these discussions have been constructive, and that Russia will actually, you know, take a good look at the demands of Ukraine for this, which is quite nice. However, obviously, currently we really have to take a hard look at what Russia promises and what they will do, because, you know, after all the other previous treaties Russia has broken, yeah, I think Russia should really be would really need to be forced to do this. And Biden in the United States has already stated that he does not trust Russia in this, and that, you know, actions really do speak louder than words. At the same time, Russia and Ministry of Defense have stated that they have chosen to critically kind of de-escalate military operations in the Kyiv and Chernihiv. And this information has basically been corroborated by the Ukrainian army, which states that the Russian army in these directions, that they have immense problems with the rotation of their forces. And the Russian Minister of Defense, Sergei Shoigu, who apparently just you know, got back from his heart attack situation, stated that Russia will continue, will concentrate more on the liberation of Donbas. Ukrainian government has basically concluded that the Russian invasion in Ukraine has failed. Therefore, they'll try to hold and expand their occupied territories in the east of Ukraine. And that's the thing. That's the thing here, because I thought that that would be their primary goal at the beginning of this war, and I've told you multiple times in various episodes. But right now, this is definitely moving the goalpost situation. Soviet Union also had this tradition of when they were losing at something, they would basically, you know, say that, turn it into a win. Everyone knows that in the post-Soviet sphere. It's kind of like, we all just expected how would Putin turn this into a win, and here you go. Of course, they have reached everything, except they haven't, and might as well, which also you should be worried about, is the fact that Russia could just as well regroup, get their forces back, get their logistics in order. They have also started some purges in their own army, firing people for failures and stuff like that. So this just might as well be a scam. You can't really tell, and I hope for the best. However, there is little to be gained from blind optimism here. And in fact, if you remember, one other opinion, sorry, again, like I said, haven't slept all night, and at least I'm not rambling this time, so. Another opinion that I read was on foreign policy, where a person stated that the realpolitik goals of Ukraine, which he then claims that Ukraine should basically surrender immediately to stop this war, since the damage has been tremendous to Ukraine. Apparently, their Minister of Economics have stated that this war and destroyed, you know, in damages alone has cost Ukraine about $525 billion. Some estimates go even further and place this amount closer to $1 trillion. So that's a lot of money. But at least Ukraine is getting some help, which is nice. However, I highly doubt that Ukrainians will just cave in to demands, because a lot of what Russia demands and what some they call themselves realpolitik, I call them a bit idealistic people, but they would kind of claim that would, you know, require a referendum, and a real referendum, which is also interesting, since that would be fun how Russia would try to do something about that. However, currently tanks have been moving away from Kiev a bit, because they are still engaging in fights with Ukrainians in the northeast of Kiev, which again makes it, you know, makes everything a bit more sketchy and weird, you know, more than usual. But about their situation there, well, see, a lot of people have been going away from Russia right now, specifically those who worked as freelancers abroad and earned their money in euros and dollars, because, you know, that was great. And most of them have been IT people. It's gone to the point where even chief Kremlin propagandist Vladimir Solovyov is stating that Russia is losing their computer specialists completely, and that it'll be a massive problem. Turns out that during a single month, about 70,000 IT specialists have left Russia. 70,000. Because, you know, these people are educated, and they're making good money, and, you know, they're professionals. And they're gone. Which means that Russian hackers and everything, yeah, they'll run out of those. They have also been trying to kind of create laws that would prohibit IT specialists from leaving the country, which, by the way, hurts my friend Zany Fan, who's now actively trying to get away, which is nice. I wish you good luck, mate. And also, they've stated that today that the young men who work in IT sector, they will be the ability to basically delay their conscription rate. They have a 12-month long conscription in Russia, which all men aged 18 to 27 must go through. However, there are various exceptions for this, even if you're like ill or you're studying in college or you have to take care of your elderly relatives. However, right now, this will now also apply to the people who work in the IT sphere, who have a degree there and who have been working in related field for at least a year. And this is basically what they're trying to do. They're somehow trying to stop this massive brain drain that they're getting. Which is pretty harsh, really, since, yeah, this brain drain part is quite huge. Another news that popped up is that there are credible news about the fact that in the Russian city of Belgrad, not to be, please don't mistake it with the Serbian Belgrade, this is Belgrad in Russia next to Ukraine, basically, and apparently there has been an explosion in a small village bordering that city in an ammunitions plant. And I've heard reports that it was a very precise Ukrainian rocket that did it. However, it's just as likely that it could be sabotage, or it also could be just basically random mistake. I don't know. Everything could happen, but at least in this has happened too, which is, well, pretty nice in general. And again, from our friends at Anonymous, the hackers who are waging their own cyber war against Russia. Well, apparently, Rosaviatsiya, or Russia's aviation agency, the biggest central thing, yeah, they have been forced to move to paper records here because all of their data, that's about 65 terabytes of data, was wiped, and they have no backups. This was confirmed not only by Anonymous, but also in Telegram channels that I follow. Yes, they're now moving to paper record systems, and they've lost all their data. They have no backup because, apparently, quote, the Aviation Herald writes that there is no backup of this data. The Russian Ministry of Finance has not allocated funds for it. And my Russian friend Polina, who sent me this message first on Telegram, stated that, yeah, obviously someone needs a second yacht. And now they don't have a yacht, and we don't have a backup, so apparently, all documents, files, aircraft registration data, and mail were deleted from the servers. All of it. Which means that, you know, it's a major thing. If you work in a large industry, imagine if you would have no backup for your data, like a bank or a large corporation, and basically everything that you held, all the paperwork about, well, literally everything, gone. Voosh. I think this will hurt Russian aviation more than, you know, than the fact that they can't get spare parts for planes, and they literally have stolen planes that were leased to them, and now they're cannibalizing them for backup, and that's also not going that well. But this is an interesting case. At least this is what they claimed. Also Anonymous, in response to this whole situation where I spoke about Ukrainians kneecapping Russians, have stated that that's part of also, at least some incidents are definitely part of Russia's propaganda campaign, since we have now leaked documents that state that it's part of PSYOPs, which also could be true. I mean, I can't really deny it, but at this point, in such minute details, it's really hard to say what's correct, what's incorrect, and something. Also, internally speaking, that's a thing that probably you won't hear anywhere else, so pay attention. Internally, in what Russia shows in their internal propaganda, their views have changed a lot. If previously the propagandists like very same Solovyov and others and Kiselyov, they were all talking about this liberation of Ukraine, denazification, and Putin even himself didn't even admit that they were fighting the regular army of Ukraine. They stated that these were basically organized groups of Nazis, stuff like that. You know, after your men start dying so much and you're failing to take Kiev and you're pushing the goalposts there, they've really changed the tune. So right now, in the Russian sphere, basically, Ukrainians themselves are being presented as the enemy. For example, one, I wouldn't want to call him a journalist, a propagandist, a better word, Anton Krasovsky. He basically, in a channel, yells and is very loud, but he basically states that what Russians really mean that now. He states that Ukraine shouldn't exist, it's a fake country, and he'll do everything he can to destroy Ukraine, and he wants to burn their constitution. That's the direct quote. And other propagandists have been following suit. They are expressing shock and surprise about how many Ukrainians are actually, you know, standing up to them, and apparently they're being brainwashed by the evil West. Yeah, I bet a bunch of Ukrainians listen to my show, and I'm super evil. Evil. And this means that apparently I'm brainwashing Ukrainians. We all have been brainwashing Ukrainians for such a long time that they've now, you know, gotten their stuff together and are fighting back, which is just crazy. But yeah, all this kind of makes me hopeful, because I do wish for a peace. And yeah, if somehow, miraculously, everything gets a bit better, still going to Ukraine. Nothing changes except that then I'll probably, you know, cancel my old flight because I was smart enough this time to book a cancellation option instead, you know, the last time when I wanted to go straight to Kiev. But we'll see what's we'll see what's going to happen since I'll still go to Ukraine and everything because I really want, I want less people dead. I want as few casualties as possible. But I still think that all the sanctions that we've placed on Russia, and by we, I mean all of us in the EU and the US, all of us in general, I don't think they should go away just because something changes. You know, just because Russia says that they'll do something and promise something on paper, until they've physically done and what they'll probably agree to, only then we can speak about the situation. And I completely agree with Joe Biden here on this specific case that Putin should not be allowed to run this country for longer, because once again, there will be revanchism, there will be more war on planet Earth if Putin remains in power. And at the same time, if things don't go Putin's way, he actually might drop a tech nuke, and a lot of people more and more every day have been talking about this. Lots of stuff to be worried about. But yeah, I have to sleep and, well, we'll get to the epicenter myself, then we'll find out. Again, thank you for listening, and happiness is mandatory. Please support our show on Patreon or click the donate button on our homepage, theeasternborder.lv. Support Ukrainian charities, and hey, if you like this show, then tell about it to other people. I'm sorry, I need to make so many episodes and I have so much things planned. It's getting a bit difficult. But hey, whenever I feel like I'm having it difficult, I remember about all the people in Ukraine who are literally being bombed. And, well, what else can I do? Just have to stay dedicated. До свидания, товарищ.